Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Now, let's join Senior Pastor Donna Shelton for this life-changing message.
You know, last Sunday, at Super Sunday, Rick preached on flourishing in the house of the Lord. And when I threw my papers down and just walked off for a minute, turned off all the lights, blew out all my candles, and went to bed. And I sat there with all my stuff, and I said, okay, Lord, you put this on my heart first, and then I got all inspired about this other, so I'm going to go back to what you put in my heart first to do a part two of flourishing in the house of the Lord. Not to do any better, it could never be done, of what Pastor Rick did, but to expand on it with a point of view from my heart. And I want to read to you this scripture, Psalm 92, 12 through 14. Stand for the reading of the word. I really appreciate us doing that. It's an act of reverence and honor. Because, you know, this word was written at the cost of great sacrifice of the men's lives who did it. And just for that, we should honor it. Psalm 92, 12 through 14 says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." You may sit down. Father, I ask you, in the name of our Lord, in the name of Jesus, to speak through me the words that you want spoken, to impart what you want imparted, to inspire what you want inspired, and to do what you want to do. Honor your word. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Amen. It's our responsibility as pastors to make every scripture that we study and preach and read to you come alive. It does no good if it's alive in us, if it doesn't come alive in you. Because we get all inspired in our study, and we see things about God, we see things about his word, and as people that are called to bring those words to you, we have to have a passion about it. It has to be fully alive in us so that it can be fully alive in you. So that the living word that is sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword that could go in and divide asunder the joints and the marrow, the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and make a difference in your lives. So as we do that, and we do our part, then you have to do your part, okay? This is not just a dumping station where we come in and dump the word in you and you go out and say, oh, I'm full. It's not like that, because in the house of the Lord, we give the living word to you, and you take that word even as a child does, living word, living bread. You take that into yourself, and it becomes digested into your heart. But my favorite scripture is in Mark, which says the amount of thought and study you give to the word that you hear after you leave this place. Okay, when you go back and get it on the podcast and you put it on your earbuds and you put it on your phone and you listen to it again and again, you take it and you do it in a personal study during the week, the amount of thought and study you give to this word that you hear is the amount of revelation that's going to be given to you. And then as you're doing this, this is what should happen. You're going to be going over everything that Pastor Rick or Pastor Mike or Pastor Sean or Pastor Matt or Pastor Josh, any of us speak, And then all of a sudden you're studying that scripture and you're studying those words, and then all of a sudden you see something that we didn't see. Something comes alive in you out of this, and you come unglued. And then you should be able to take this word that has now come alive in you, and then your friends, you should be so bubbling over that you're kind of like, Rick, let me tell you this, let me tell you this, let me tell you what I just saw. Chasing me down all over the house. Look, 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 look. In Spanish, I think it's mira, mira, mira. I'm learning that. I'm learning some from my granddaughter. But you look and you see, and you're able to share living bread out of your own life with other people that you are in relationship with. And thereby, we're all fitly joined together in the Word and in our hearts. When we go back to the scripture, I went back and did the same word study Rick did, but I did it on my own again, even though I had the notes of it. But it said in that scripture, the righteous, that means the just. And I looked it up in the dictionary too, because I always like to look things up in the Webster's dictionary, just to make sure. And it says, the righteous, those who are acting in accord with divine or moral law and free from guilt and sin. That says a whole lot. So all of us are righteous. We are acting in accord. We should be acting in accord with divine and moral law, and we're free from guilt and sin. That's us. The righteous shall flourish. Now, it says to break forth as a bud, to bloom, to spread, to fly as extending the wings abundantly. Well, I just couldn't help myself. I had to break that down some more. It says, you shall flourish. Flourishing is not a one-time deal. You don't come this Sunday and flourish and you never flourish again. But the righteous shall flourish, and it means a continual process. You shall flourish and continue flourishing. As it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, you are to be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water are supposed to continually be bubbling up within you and pouring out of you. In the same way, we are to be flourishing in the house of the Lord. That means to bud. Now, I love springtime because it's a change of season, and everything that was not producing, the first way that you know something's happening is you look in that little branch and you see little buds. That's how you know life is in that branch, if you see a bud. And in the house of the Lord, the righteous should not be here very long before they start budding little buds. That bud should be, I am a part of this family. I have a place to fulfill. I have something to do. I see that there are ushers. I like to talk to people. I'm a friendly person. I think I could do that. I'd like to do that. I'd like to welcome people. You know what? I like to organize things. I'd like to go out there and be a greeter and a parker. I want to be the smiling face that a visitor first sees when they come in this parking lot. I want to do something in the house of the Lord, serving in the coffee bar, doing all those things. What a glorious thing, meeting everybody. I'm a meet and greet type person. I would be an usher. I would be a greeter. I would be out in that parking lot. You know I'd be out on that parking lot. Yes, I would. I'd probably be like one of those policemen that they show on YouTube, like over in England, that really famous one that they've got that does all this. Horribly, if you've never seen him on YouTube, he's swinging his arms and kicking his leg and just making everybody happy. Greeters, take a lesson. Parkers, take a lesson. Because when you bud and you see that there's something you can do, you can work in the nursery. You can work in children's church. We had a guy that was a massive insurance salesman. He made bukus of money. But he loved working in the nursery. You remember John Misko? John Misko. And he loved the infant room. Now, I don't care. These babies could be screaming. Nobody can console them. John would go grab that baby and carry him kind of like a football. And he'd just start walking and praying in tongues over him. Walking and rocking and praying in tongues, speaking scriptures and all that stuff over them. Those babies would go quiet in seconds. They said, oh, you have a way with babies. He said, no, I have a way with God. And the babies feel it. Do you know those babies? I know those babies. Every baby that he touched is still bearing the influence of those minutes and those times that he imparted into their life. I'm sure that they were snatched. I know, John. I know they were prayed over. This child will never go into the hands of the enemy. This child will never, never be stolen from God. That's just the way he was. But you see, he had a budding vision of something that he could do. And then as he had the budding vision of something he could do in the house of the Lord, he began to blossom. You bud, then you blossom. You begin to walk in it. And as you walk in it, it comes into fruition. And as it comes into fruition, then it says that you spread. How many of you know that when you start doing one thing, it leads to something else? In the church world, and in churches, sad to say, I want our church to be the one that breaks all those molds. There's like 10-15% of the people do 90% of the work. 8-10% of the people tithe so that all the work of the church can be done. It's shrinking all the time. That ought not be so. No. Mm-mm. Because we're in the last days and there's so much to be done. If we don't get our hands in our pocketbook and start tithing and give the Lord his money for his kingdom work so that the gospel can be preached to the nations, I'm like, hurry up, Lord. He says, put your money where your mouth is, girlfriend. I tithe. I've tithed since I was a child. I learned it from my parents. I'd rather die of starvation than not tithe. I'll tell you that. I wouldn't die of starvation because I tithe. But if it had to come a choice between my buying groceries and me tithing, tithing comes down every time. I'm keeping that umbrella of protection over my life because he made a promise on that when he said, prove me. It's the only thing in the Bible he said, prove me. And there have been times I said, proving you. Proving you. You know that one. I could have people get up here and testify that I've walked through, known where they walk through, job situations, hard situations, family situations. And they could stand on that word as if you could just take the Bible, Malachi 3:10, and put it down and step your foot on it and say, devil, take an Instagram picture, publish it all over hell. I'm a tither. God rebukes the devourer, you, for my sake. I have a right to say that. Spread. Fly as extending the wings, as I was saying. If you start doing one thing, it kind of expands your vision to say, well, I did that. And then God starts dealing with your heart. Well, why don't you do a little more? Why don't you do something else? You've got other areas of your life. Let's expand over to here. And then God will start training you up and you'll bud and you'll blossom in another area in serving in the house of the Lord. And then it comes to another thing and that just leads to another thing. And you become a person that is multifaceted and multi-talented. And you'll say, I thought you were an usher. No, I'm serving in the children's church now. I'm serving in the nursery. No, I'm head of the nursery now. It's because you spread, you bud, you blossom, you spread your wings, you fly, and you are abundant. And it also says you are like a palm tree, straight and erect. You know, I like palm trees. I take lots of pictures when I go to places where they are of palm trees. I just like that. straight up, and then the little umbrella over top. I like that picture. But you never see palm trees break. They might be uprooted, but they never break in hurricanes and stuff. They'll be like a cedar. Now, Pastor Rick did the whole thing of the cedar of Lebanon. But when I looked up in the Strong's, the word cedar right there, it said the tenacity of its roots. The tenacity of its roots. And you shall flourish like a palm tree, strong, erect, full of integrity, and you're going to grow upward and increase continually. And it said you're going to be like a cedar from the tenacity of its roots. That's what I love, love, love about being a child of God. That something comes on the inside of us as a child of God when you're growing in the Lord. When you're doing what you need to be doing. There's something that happens inside. There's a tenacity that comes at a certain point in time when the winds of adversity are blowing. And something in you, those roots are tenacious. And they say, I am not moving. You promised, I'm not moving. You said, and I'm not moving off of this. Things can happen in the church, and everybody else is saying, why are you still going there? And you have your tenacious roots say, I'm not moving. I'm planted here. Tenacious roots. Don't forget, you're going to be like a cedar with tenacious roots. Then the next part of that verse said, those who are planted are transplanted in the house or the family of the Lord. And when I read that, I said, transplanted? He said, yes. You were once alienated from me by your sins. Children of darkness, now I, through salvation, have brought you out of darkness into the kingdom of marvelous light. I have transplanted you out of darkness into light, out of the family of sinners into the family of God. Amen? Yeah. And it says, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Now, when I was talking about spreading, I want to give you an example of a couple things. Years and years ago, we had a young man that came to our church. He was all excited. And he said, I want to be a pastor someday. What do I do? And it came up to me. And I said, all right, go work in the nursery. He said, what? I said, if you can work in the nursery, you cannot fool a child. That'll prove your heart. If you love people, you'll be found through loving children. You cannot fool a child. You might want to be in the ministry and be all out here upon the platform, but your true love for people will be manifested in your love for children that can't do. Oh, you're so great. That message was so awesome. I love you. I just come to hear you and all this stuff that people get and want. You don't get that. You get poopy diapers. You get throw up. You get crying, you get temper tantrums, you get not sharing, you get biting of the other kids in the class. You get all those things, but if you can have that child come and say, I want them to be my teacher, or come and grab around your legs whenever you come in, that's how you know that you're ready to serve and to spread in a little higher place. And this young man did that. And he did that, served in that way for a long, long time. And then later, he got a call to be a children's pastor. And then he went on to be a children's pastor for many, many years. He had no idea he would be a children's pastor. He just wanted to be a pastor. But see, there was a little bud of something in there that God had to develop into something that would blossom later, but it came through service. Dan and Cindy Salas are missionaries in Costa Rica. They were just sitting in church just like everybody here, time after time, listening to the word, and all of a sudden, through talking about missions and reaching the world, a little bud of something started growing in their heart. Man, there's something there I can't get away from. And then they came and they said, you know, I think God's calling us. God's calling us to the world. God's calling us to be a missionary. And so then they began to blossom, and then they prepared and did all the things that were necessary and were sent out, and they've been serving there for many, many years. These are the kinds of things I'm talking about. When you grow up and you're strong and you stay, the scriptures here says that you'll still bear fruit in old age. And you'll be fresh and flourishing. That means you're going to continually, no matter how old you get, you don't come to a place in your life of service in the Lord and say, let the kids do it. Oh, let the young generation do it now. There is a transfer, yes, and a changing of roles, but nobody should ever retire, ever, in the kingdom of God. Never, 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 until my dying breath, will I ever say, I'm retired. I might change roles because there's impartation and things like that, but I will never retire. Now let me show you something. Rose and Howard, stand up. I want you to see these lovely people. I love these people to pieces. Come on, I love you. These two have been at our church almost since the very beginning, 1980. They have served in the house of the Lord. You'll still see Rose over here on this prayer wall. I look forward to coming out there and having him give me that big old smile and getting a hug. He's always friendly. That's his part. He's always there with a smile and a hug and an encouragement. All these years, we've been through a lot of trauma together, haven't we? But they stayed planted, and they're still flourishing in the house of the Lord. Esther and Vernon, stand up. Esther was there the first Sunday, and Vernon was there the first Sunday. Now, Frieda wasn't. His wife there wasn't the first Sunday, but Scott was. Esther and Woody and the family were there the first Sunday. Well, they've been here all these years, been doing lots of different things over all these years, had lots of different roles. But they're still here, and they've been here for, this June 22nd was 35 years. This church is 35 years. 35 years planted in the house of the Lord. Amen? What? She's only 49. How do you even work that out? So who else has been here since the 80s? Anybody else that's been here since the 80s? Stand up. Oh, yeah, my group over there. Stand up, my group. Come on up. Stand up. Flourish and fly. These faithful people praying, serving all these years. Things have not always been peaches and cream. They never are in a house of God. Because the enemy is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And anytime there's a good thing going, the enemy's going to loose the hordes of hell to try to stop it. He'll go after the shepherd first. Because if you get the shepherd, you scatter the sheep. That's why there's been such a massive attack for so many years on Pastor Rick. But he stands firm and he stands strong. But God brought us through all that. And people are flourishing in the house of God. Then I want to talk about our roots. The part of the roots that Pastor Rick was talking about, the cedars of Lebanon that makes them so unique, is that their roots intertwine with each other, and it doesn't kill the other plant. It actually makes the other plant strong. And I'm looking at the house of God like that, and people in the house of God. And I was pondering and meditating on what is that like? A root is a revelation. It's a foundation, okay? I have a foundation of salvation. I heard a message that when I was in fifth grade that said, I was a sinner, I needed a savior. Now, I was raised in church, so I had heard of that all my life. But when I was in fifth grade, something about it penetrated everything, and I was able to understand and get it. And I heard that message, and then this was in school in a chapel service, and he gave an altar call, and he said, everybody in this school, he said, I want you to pray the sinner's prayer. And we didn't have you come forward. He said, I want you to pray the sinner's prayer in your heart, and he repeated the prayer. We prayed it. He said, when you go back to your room, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to tell everybody in your class that you accepted Jesus as your Savior. If you don't and if you won't, you did not accept him as your Lord and Savior, because Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before your fellow friends and students or your brothers or whoever else, he said, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father and I won't recognize you. Well, that put the fear of God in all of us kids. So everybody in my class went to each other, and all of us had said that prayer. And I think peer pressure, if they didn't, they did before they got there, when they realized everybody was saying it. But that's my root. Now, all of you who have that same root of salvation, where you heard the word and you were convicted of your sins and you accepted Jesus as your Savior, we all are intertwined on that one foundational thing. I can go in an airport, and I've done this before, and be sitting there by myself. And I had this young girl come up, and she was kind of timid and stuff, and she kind of sat and looked at me, and she said, you a Christian? And I said, yes, I am. Are you? She said, yes, I am. Our roots instantly sought each other out. She was afraid of flying. It was her first time ever flying. And she had prayed and said, God, send me somebody. Let me see somebody that's a Christian that I can be next to, that can be a friend with me and walk me through this. You see, we have those roots, and those roots became intertwined. Anybody that's in salvation, we are part of each other in the body of Christ. When we have each, those of us who have had major healings in our life, how many of you have been healed of some dreaded disease? All of you have a root that goes down deep, and you know that. You know this healing power of God in a way that some other people don't. And anybody that needs that, you can join that root to their root and say, no, let me help you here. Let me make you strong in this, because I've been there, done that. God has brought me through. He will bring you through. I can intertwine my tenacious root with you, and I can stand with you for your healing. Amen? This is all about these tenacious roots and about being intertwined in our roots in the house of God. This is why it's so vitally important that we do not come to church in our own little pot. Because a pot prevents attachment. A pot prevents spreading out. It prevents budding and all that kind of stuff, because I do my plants all the time, and I do my usually weekly or bi-weekly run to Lowe's to rescue all the half-dead plants so that I can take them out of those root-bound pots and plant them. And I was going to bring a pampas grass, one that I still haven't planted yet, and if I don't, it's going to die. But you pull that thing up, and all it is roots. Twirled and twirled and twirled. This is what you call a self-absorbed person. All of its roots are all about me. And when I come to church in my pot, there's hardly any soil there, because all the soil has been absorbed by those all about me roots. All the nutrients have been taken up into the plant to make it live as long as it did. And there's hardly anything left, because it becomes water me, feed me, do all this to me, and then I'm taking myself out, and I'm going to go and bring myself back the next time I want to come back. I don't have to come back if I don't want to come back. But if I know my favorite preacher's going to be there, I'll be there. If he's not, or she's not, or they're not, I'm not going to be there. Ooh, don't get me started on that. Mm-mm. We When we are planted in the house of the Lord, and this is our pot, okay? This is our soil. I do a lot of big pots with a lot of different flowers in them. They all grow together and they look beautiful in harmony. They're all different. Some are tall, some are short, some are drapey, some are colorful, some are just green. But it makes a beautiful pot, and that's what God does in His church. Everything has its place. Everything makes the whole thing a thing of beauty. But it has to be where it all becomes intertwined, fulfilling its place and fulfilling its purpose. It would be as if the pot says, I'm not going to grow unless this person waters my pot. There might be rain falling from heaven, but unless this person waters my pot, I don't want to be in this pot. It's not the way it works, because we're all intertwined and we all grow. I'm trying to prepare you for life as it should be. When you're planted in the house of God, it doesn't matter really who's bringing the word, because anybody that stands behind this place, this is holy, and they should have a word for you, and it's healthy to hear. Pastor Sean, Pastor Mike, Pastor Matt, Pastor Josh, even you, get you up here, all of you, to speak the word from the anointing that God has given them. It's a different flavor. It's a different kind of fertilizer for your planting. And I want us as a church to flourish to the point that we are so intertwined. This is my house. This is my place. I want us to grow, bud, and to have possibilities. I can do something here. I can make the gospel of Jesus go forth here. The Moores, they've been here forever. He's got the biggest smile you've ever seen. Having a stroke or anything can't stop these guys. They're amazing people. If you need a little bit of encouragement, go back over there. Let them pray over you. They'll bring some heaven down, banish some hell. I'm telling you, there's so much gifting in this house. And what we need to do, that's why we try to have everybody mingle and get to know each other. You have no idea the treasure that's in this place. And so that's the point of living outside of this service. Joining together, meeting people, fellowshipping, eating as Jesus did, doing all of those things, so that when times get rough, as they are, and as they are going to continue being, when friends that were there out there abandon, and when family that it may be far away can't be there, this family will join together, and the worldwide family will join together with us to support us and to stand. Amen. If you go to John 15 to bring this to the New Testament, Amplified Bible. Love this chapter, because in it Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he says, you can be a fruit-bearing plant and then stop. He said, he cuts away and trims off and takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit. Can you say ouch, ouch, ouch? How many of you have been in one of those ouchy moments and you feel God snip, and you know that God's cutting away something? It's because you were fruitful, and you say, but wait, I was fruitful in that area. That was bearing fruit. Why are you cutting that limb off? He said, because I want you to bear more fruit. If I don't trim branches and cut them back, and some of them you have to cut back really hard, they get long and leggy, and they have to be supported by other things and other people. But when the Father trims it back, it goes deep into the roots of the Word, of fellowship, of the vision of the house, of all those things. And then that those branches that have been trimmed off, all of a sudden, in that trimmed off branch that once had a leaf here, a leaf here, and a leaf here, and a leaf here, all of a sudden that trimmed off branch starts putting forth little buds and little leaves and little branches here. And that one branch that had just a little bit here and there, all of a sudden becomes full of life. And God wants us to be full of life in every area of our life. So that's why as the vine dresser, the Father will cut us back. Even though we think, that's a good area, God, why'd you do that? He's doing that so that you can bear more fruit. Only God knows what's best. And it says, to make it bear more fruit and richer and more excellent fruit. He said, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word that I've given you, the teachings I've discussed with you. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. He's saying, dwell in me and I will dwell in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in and being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Here's where I'm going to end. It isn't enough for you to come here and think that you're abiding in the vine, to hear a message here on a Sunday. And this is never opened here or on your phone any other time. It doesn't work that way. You must be united to the vine in the moments and days of your life. When you wake up in the morning, let your first thought be, Father, I am alive. You've given me breath. I thank you for that. I give this day to you. I don't know what it's going to hold. I don't even know if I'm going to be alive at the end of the day. But I give you this day, and I will walk in this day with you, allowing you to work in me and through me. And then you go to his word. If you have to, before you go to bed, put your Bible by your bed or put your Bible somewhere and open it up already. Do what you have to do so that it's available to you. And even if you only have time to have one verse, get that verse and you chew on it and meditate on it during the day. And you let it become alive in you. And then it becomes a part of who you are. And then as you go through your day, ask the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit's here for. I so much want to do a Holy Spirit series. That's what he's here for. We so underutilize the Holy Spirit that is a precious gift to us. Ask him to remind you through the day. Heaven check. Spirit check. Keep me plugged in. I wrote a poem about staying connected all through the day. It only takes a moment for God to, by the Holy Spirit, to just do this thought, God. And all of a sudden, wherever you're at, what you're doing, you're in the car, whatever, turn off the radio, your news and all that kind of stuff, and stop and say, Father, you are in control of my life. You're in control of the world. All this stuff seems to be horrendously overwhelming. But you know what? I know that I am united to you. I'm in you. You're in me. You're going to make my life all it needs to be, and you're going to take care of all the world and all the stuff that's going on, so it doesn't depend on me, and I don't need to be weighed down by it. But I'm just going to be fruitful in you today, here and now, and cause me, Lord, to remember you all throughout the day, to be thankful in my heart. Yes, you gave me that parking place. Thank you, Lord. Yes. You kept me from having that wreck. Thank you, Lord. You reminded me. If I didn't remember that, I would have had to have driven all the way back home to get that because it was very important to me. Thank you for that. That's how you stay connected to the vine all throughout the day. He is the vine, we are the branches, and we must stay connected. Out of here, every moment of the day, it can be done. It's like praying always with all prayer and supplication. How do you do that? You always have your heart open. It's always available. I'll be going down the road praying in tongues. Sometimes I'll be out in public praying in tongues, and I'm like, hi. Where are you from? Virginia? You know, but when you get so into being connected, you don't realize things sometimes. And that doesn't mean you go out and get stupid. Please don't. Oh, I have horror stories, but I won't even go there. That were church members. And I'm like, don't say you go here. Please. Please don't go up to that counter and say, well, I can't buy that one. I have to buy this one because the Holy Spirit said that that one's the wrong color for me. Oh, no. And she's just rung up all these clothes for you. And you say, oh, no, the Holy Spirit just convicted me. I need to put all that stuff back. Holy Spirit? And they would invariably ask, where do you go to church? Oh, Life Church. I want to smack you. Because they think you're a bunch of goofballs. No, be connected, but be real. Don't be super spiritual. Don't be holy, holy. And above all, don't be judgmental. God is the judge. Leave all that to Him. God is the one that's going to sort everything out. Leave it to Him. Life is too hard with too many things to take all that weight upon ourselves. All He's called us to do is stay connected to Him. And the vine is a vine that runs with the syrupy sap of love. Let that sticky sap of love be the only thing that gets on other people from you. If they cut you, syrupy love. Let it be like pine tar. Oh my goodness, I hate dealing with pine trees, those little pine trees. You get that tar on you and you cannot get that off. And I even put dirt on it. I thought if anything will get off, gum, just stick your foot in the dirt. It'll come right off. No, but that's what I want, the love. My sappy love, not stupid, greasy agape and all that stuff, but I'm talking about real love that says, you know what, I know you're a mess, and you say you're this, and you do that, and all that kind of stuff. I'm not here to say anything about you and what you do. All I'm here to say is, I was such a mess. I had so much stuff going on in my life, but Jesus took me like I was and changed me. I can't tell you all about you. All I can tell you about me. Do you realize that's how the world in the early church became explosive? It was by everybody telling somebody what Jesus did for them. And that's what I want us to do. Flourish in the house of God and then flourish out there. As you're flourishing in here, then this place will be filled with people that you've touched from what you've gotten here in the family and what you've gotten on your own at home. You'll be strong, erect, an umbrella, a shade for other people. You'll be able to grasp and hold people and bring them out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Amen?
Amen. Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.